Well, God bless everyone, and welcome to another Skype fellowship, and it's great to see everyone online. And so what we'll do, I think we'll open up with a word of prayer. So who would like to open up with a word of prayer on the Skype land?
Father, I thank you that we are gathered together in your name to listen to words of edification and sanctification, and just thank you, Lord, that we stand like-minded on your word, and that we hear each other's testimonies and just give each other the build and the confidence and the love that we need, and to enjoy other stories of what they've had to do with you, Father, this week or yesterday or today and things like that. And just know that it's just great to serve you in that newness of life which you've blessed us with, Lord. And so I ask your blessing on this fellowship tonight. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so welcome everyone. Welcome Anna and Pedro. Welcome Kim Hiley. Welcome Nancy, and hopefully Scott will come on later. Welcome Patri from Argentina. Really great that you're here. Good for you to join. And just don't forget, Patri, when you want to speak, just unmute your mic and then speak. Say what you need to say. If you're able to talk there, so I know you're still at work. And Russell and Shirley, bless you guys. Welcome to Skype Fellowship. And there's a good-looking guy on here called Lawrence Tor. Oh. Welcome, Lawrence. And Kim's here, and Jason's just turned up. So, as we know, the other day, our wonderful brother in Christ, he fell asleep and is waiting for the gathering and the return of Jesus Christ. And Bruce, he really fought the fight of faith. He really believed God, and Cindy, his wonderful wife, was there with him all the way. And we've seen some little victories there along the way. It was such a privilege that he joined our Skype fellowship and we got to know him. And I can remember his breathing being very shallow, and his speech wasn't very strong. And then Jason ministered to him, and then he really began to get his strength back again in his voice, which was a great blessing. And we ministered to him many different times for different things, and he was recovering. But thankfully, he, according to Cindy, he fell asleep and he went peaceably. So we're thankful for that there was no more pain. He was sleeping longer periods of time. But, I spoke to Cindy. I know Nancy's also spoken with Cindy, and she's busy organising things and getting things in order there. And so we've made it available. Anytime she needs to call or talk, then we're here for her. So we can all keep her and her son in our prayers. And, so that's wonderful that we can be there for each other and we can love one another and encourage one another, especially in times like this and right on the holiday season, the Christmas season. So we keep those guys in our prayers. I think Bambi contacted Kim, or was speaking with Kim, and she's actually got a job on a Thursday now, so she won't be able to join. And as for the others, I don't know, they must be busy. But we're here and we're blessed, and I'm real grateful you everyone's here, so we can have a wonderful fellowship. So let's kick it off. Who's got anything to share?
I have.
Okay, Anna, God bless you, darling. Okay,
I'm since Monday. I told you I'm gonna tell Lawrence and Kim. No, I'll wait till Thursday. But it was like, what comes to my mind is Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Is that because out of the blue, I start working today.
Wow.
So, I was wishing to do it for a long time.
Yeah.
And the doors never open. And then I used to work in a great company, and that has a problem. But then a company from Thailand, I think, in Durama, buy it. and they are working again, and they call me back. So I start today. I'm working in
2 years after, right?
3 years after.
3 years after.
I'm working on the Department of Engineering and Maintenance. It's only men there. For me it's okay because they are my kids. and they welcome me so, they were so loving, so tender that my heart melts. They were all happy to see me again. And it was really a good day. I'm really, really blessed. And God knew that I really wanted to work because I'm not the kind of a lady to stay at home and do domestic stuff. I don't like it. I prefer to go out and work. And then I can meet more people and speak.
That's awesome.
So I'm really, really blessed. And God really knew because... you know, I don't know if it is the same in other countries, but in Portugal, the payment, the salary, it's we win 14 months a year. So when we go in on vacations and in Christmas, they gave us an extra salary. But it's only Pedro, working. So this extra payment already went out with the cars and stuff that we really need to know to do. And I was thinking, God, I want to go to France. I want to go family camp. I want to do stuff with the family. We need money. And then this work, they call me Monday. Are you available? Do you want to come back? Yes. And then.
Wow.
I'm really, really blessed.
Bravo.
Oh, that's
great.
That's really amazing, and because you got God first, you're looking to Him, and you desire to move with Him, so there's no good thing He's going to withhold from you, and that's God's desire, you know, just to really bless us when we look to Him, and when we have a free and cheerful heart, and a happy heart, we're not worrying about the circumstances.
No, she made the decision to abundantly work for you.
Yeah.
And then she got the job.
Yeah, and that's another thing that Kim just said, that, you know, when you decided that you wanted to abundantly share, and you've done that, that's also, like, God makes all grace abound towards us.
And as she gave out of a need, so then God blessed her with her job.
So, yeah, so these things are just really wonderful. So it's great that, you know, God is faithful to His word, and He does make all grace abound towards us so that we're sufficient in all things. Because really, none of us are sufficient of ourselves, you know, and it's... When we just depend upon Him and we do things willingly, like, because God wants a willing heart. He doesn't want us to do things out of obligation or fear, but just to look to Him, and then He just really lays it on for us. And we have struggling times, all of us, and we have challenges, but we can overcome them when we just keep putting God first. And, you know, these times are challenging times in the world when we look around us. And if we look at these things, our faith, you know, can become very low. But it's just keeping ourselves hot with God in prayer, in relationship. Everything flows out of that relationship with God. And when we make decisions, when we decide, then God can really go and open up the doors for us. Whatever the area is, whether it's work, whether it's ministering, witnessing, you know. So it's just really great that God is our... you know, a great provider. He sees in order to provide, and He knows our heart, He knows our desires. So that's just really a great testimony. Pedro and Anna, bless your hearts.
Yes.
Is there anything else you want to say?
Just let me say something else about what Kim was saying. One of the things that bothered me was that I wanted to... I'm used to do... we call abundant sharing, but I think it's cheerful...
Cheerful giving?
Yeah. I used to do it faithfully. So I was not doing, because it was Pedro that was doing that for us. And I was telling Pedro, I want to work, because the first thing I want to do with my first paycheck is to cheerful give away again, because it's something that I feel the need. And I have to tell you and to thank you and God for open all doors, because since last Thursday I was on fire and I felt energized. I knew something would happen, but I was not thinking about to work anymore. And I was really, really surprised.
Wow. And God made that happen for you. You know, He'd done it all for you, and He knows your heart, you know. And that's really great. I'm really very blessed to hear that. Really very blessed.
Well, I have something to share differently different ways about, we really can't go by our five senses, you know, and we just have to give things to God, because this week, I got an old car, you know, my car is like 18 years old, but it's still running, and I don't fancy much for cars, so as long as it's still running, it's good, it's enough for me. And when cars are that like that, you have to, each year we have to make an inspection, you know, so you can be able to drive it on the streets, to be authorized. So I went to, and before that I had a problem with the window, the left window, the right window from the, not the driver's side, yeah, that didn't work, so I got to fix it. And then I take it to inspection and everything, every year it always passes with no problems. Never had a problem for every year. I guess God is putting His hand on that car. That's why I'm blessed too with it. And the guy there says everything was all right, but there was a oil leak from the engine. And I go, wow, oil leak, oh. So I come back and go to the mechanic and arrange with him to take the car there to check out what it was. But then it was the weekend, and I didn't go right there. And each time I parked the car, I watched for the dropping of the oil, and, you know, sometimes it was a big pool of oil under the engine. And I was like, oh, man, I'm done, you know. Got to get a new car. Probably is, you know, I don't know if it's the engine had brake or breakdown or why. I was kind of worried, but I was keep praying, you know. And then finally I got time to take it to mechanic, and the guy tell me it's nothing. It's just the oil filter that gets soaked with the vapor of the oil from the motor, the engine, and that oil filter starts dropping the exceeding of the gases from the oil. Well, it's nothing. You just clean it and it's fine. And if we go by our five senses, we'll be worried about it. You know, we just got to give it to God. And I was anyway believing if I have to change a car, God will find a way. And He will find a way when it will be needed, not now. So it was great to understand that what is apparent, what you see, you cannot trust it. Even if it's a big pool of oil under your engine. That was, I really blessed me to be, you know, out of trouble, out of the hook.
That's awesome, that's great. It's amazing what God does for us.
And
and I didn't know then that Hannah had a job, it was before we know that, so.
I have to say, Anna, you had quite a few people listen to your teaching.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you had over 100 people like listen to it, which is very good in a short space of time. So like that's really great. And it's great that other people share, like me and Kim can share till the cows come home, like we all can, you know. But you know, I really believe that it's good to encourage other people to, you know, share from their hearts, to give in that way, because it's not all down, you know, it shouldn't be all down to us, you know. We're one body working together, and I really encourage people, like, you know, you can share like 15, 20 minutes, like, and God is working in you as well. You know, you got the scriptures, God's working you by His Spirit, and you just be really bold and confident like He was. And the more you do, the more you, in, you know, open up your mouth as well as open up the scriptures, you know, then you'll find that you'll have so much to say. And and so it's good that we can encourage one another and, you know, listen to other people share. And I really love people just, I'm waiting for Nancy to also share as well, do a teaching one of the weeks, because I know she's a very dynamic lady and she blesses me as well as yourself. and I know that every one of us can do. So we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. So we're going to be looking to get encourage people to give and to share. Obviously, Cindy was going to teach this week, but obviously with Bruce falling asleep, you know, that's not available right now. So we understand that. But yeah, I'm just really blessed. And you know, when we just do what God shows us to do, like in the leading of the fellowship, God's leading. This is God's fellowship, so we let Him lead. And that way the needs of the people are met and people are edified, faith comes and we're encouraged. And so, you know, because we don't want to do a fellowship without God in it, do we?
No.
You know, so we want God to show up as well, you know. We want Him to be the fore and foremost in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, yeah, that's awesome. Anybody else got anything they want to share? Patri, do you want to share over there in Argentina? Are you able to share now? I know she's got a microphone on mute. She might be busy. Anyone else want to share? When you're ready, Patri, just let us know, love.
Well, I'll share.
Oh, Kim's going to open her mouth. Praise the Lord. That's faith in action. Oh, dear.
So I Saturday afternoon I had a toothache, and from a very young girl I was taken to the dentist, and it was a horrible dentist, and I got very, very fearful. Every time I had to go to the dentist, I would beg my dad, please daddy, please no, please don't take me. So obviously this fear has overtaken me through the years. Even the mention of a dentist, my palms go sweaty, I start to sweat, and I feel sorry for anyone that has to go and see a dentist, because obviously the things that I experienced when I was young. So anyway, I just ministered to my tooth on the Saturday afternoon and the pain left. And I went all day Sunday, and then Monday morning I get up and I have like this tiny little niggle, but it wasn't anything major. So I get in the van and I drive to work, and I actually ended up in an accident. Not me personally, but there was a big accident on the motorway that I travel on to get to work. It had taken up three of the lanes, and it was an overturned articulated lorry with a tanker on it, one of these big containers. So it just blocked the whole road, so nobody was going anywhere. And I'm sat there, and I'm just, you know, praying and listening to the teaching, and I suddenly feel my face getting really tight. And by the time I get to work, I was actually sat in the traffic for 2 hours. By the time I got to work, my left side of my face, the only way I can describe it is if you open your hand wide and place it on your cheekbone, my face filled your hand. It was enormous. It was like a coffee mug just sat in the jaw bone. And so I obviously can't see it, but I can feel it. So when I walked into work, my co-worker said, "My gosh, Kim, what's happened to your face?" I said, "I don't know, it's just come up in the last 2 hours when I was sat in traffic." She said, "Well, we must go and see the doctor." So we went into the doctor, because obviously I work in a pharmacy, so the pharmacy is attached to the doctor's surgery. And the doctor said to me, "Do you have a dentist?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, my very good friend is a dentist, and he's only around the corner." He said, "I'm going to ring him now." He said, "And I want you to go and see him urgently." He said, "Just get straight in the van and go round and see him. He'll be expecting you." Which, that's the miracle number one, because over here trying to get a dentist is just a miracle.
especially an emergency dentist. So I went to see him, and the dentist said to me, I think you have a cavity in your tooth and it's caused an infection. I can pull the tooth and we can excise all the abscess. So I said, okay, just pull it. I'm not fussed about it. I just need to get this, because I was really concerned about the lump in my face. So anyway, he pulls the tooth, but he like numbed it all first, and then he pulled the tooth, and then he started pressing on the swelling. Well, nothing came out. So he said, this is very strange. He said, I've pulled the tooth, but, you know, the abscess is not moving. He said, I think we need to put you on a course of antibiotics, and I'll see you tomorrow. So I said, okay. So I've come away. I've gone and done my little bit of job. Even though I just had a tooth pulled, I still went and done my work. I get home to Lawrence. I've spoken to Lawrence on the phone, and I've told him what's going on with my face, and he's ministered as well. When I get home, he looks at me and laughs. Called me Elephant Woman. Because that's the loving kind of husband I have.
Merry heart doeth good luck and medicine.
Yeah, well, I wasn't in no laughing matter, and I just looked at him in disgust, and I've gone and put my head down. And I've gone asleep. When I've woken up, it's subsided quite a bit.
All the kids were making fun as well.
Yeah, all the kids were making fun as well. They've all had their little 2 pennies worth in this week. Anyway, next day I get up and I go to work, and it's like half the size. But the dentist wanted to see me in the morning, so I go and see him. And he said, I am really concerned. He said, this should have subsided a bit by now. He said, take these stronger antibiotics and I will see you tomorrow, which was yesterday. So, comes home. And Lawrence said, I really do believe it's gone down quite a bit. So, I was okay. But like, when it's on your face, it could be the size of a mountain, because I can see it. I don't know about everybody else. Anyway, I've come home and I've gone to bed. I've rested. I'm not sort of like, because every time I looked at the ground and pulled my head up, it was like a drawing sensation, like this pain was just agonizing. And it wasn't anything to do with having the tooth pulled. It was this anguish in my jawbone. So then I go get up yesterday and I go to work and I go and see the dentist, and he said, I am very pleased it has subsided as much as it has, because you were very close to going into hospital and having a drain put in your jaw to drain all the infection out. So as soon as he said that, you know, my fear of dentists and everything else, I just thanked God, because I knew that he'd helped this infection to subside, for me not to visit another trip to the hospital. I've come home today, and it's so small, it's hardly recognizable now. I still have a little bit of discomfort in the actual jawbone. I did ask him, actually, because over the last sort of 4 or 5 months, I've been able to click my jawbone. My jawbone's felt quite loose, so every time I open my mouth, it clicks. And he said that's just through wear and tear, and I shouldn't do it. I shouldn't purposely do it, because the bones then grind, and then that can cause infection. So it's something I could have easily have brought on myself, not realizing. God has, like, from Monday evening to, like, yesterday evening, transformed my face from being like a rugby ball on the side of my face.
Looking like a rugby ball.
No,
I'm joking.
A rugby ball.
Was that like a rugby ball on the side of my face? It was flipping awful. And it's now just like...
It's nothing there, hardly now.
Well, I know. You say it's nothing.
But it really isn't. It really looks normal now.
It looks normal. I feel it still feels like the size of a, like a little egg.
No, you're exaggerating.
Little Kim.
Yeah.
You have clove oil, Kim.
I used it. I've been using it, Nancy. I used it all Saturday night and the pain left. Sunday I was perfect. Monday morning, I'm perfect. I get in the van, drive into work, and this thing just swells up in like 2 hours. Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, that it's good against infection. It's clove is very strong.
Yeah.
Very strong. So, but that's good. We'll pray for that. That's gone. Get rid of it, Lord.
Yeah.
You've got Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, Jesus.
Nancy gave him olive oil. So he got it. He got.
Well, God and Jesus don't have toothaches.
Yeah.
Yeah. He got all the little oils in that nice little display thing.
I use them every day at Nancy Lou's essential oils. I've got lavender burning at the moment upstairs in the office.
Yeah.
And it goes throughout the
whole. Oh, that's nice.
Absolutely love it. It's beautiful.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. I'm glad you're enjoying them.
Yeah.
Nancy, do you want to share? Whatever's in your heart, sweetheart, now you're on.
Oh gosh, it's been a week, I'll tell you that. It's kind of winding down, and I understand Christmas is coming. Somebody said it's December, Christmas is coming.
Yeah.
And, I'm just not into it. I mean, I'm not like getting stressed over like, oh, I gotta do this, that, or the other thing. Things are kind of flowing. It's just been an extremely busy week. Of course, we know about Bruce. And my cousin fell asleep on Monday.
Oh,
so we're leaving in the morning for, we have to go to Pennsylvania overnight, which is kind of a sad time of year, but she knew about the return and her whole family, they're very strong believers. And, you know, he's coming soon. So
amen.
We're all ready and we can rejoice in that. And I've heard so much teaching in the last few days about believers, get out of your church, get out, do it like they did in Acts, go house to house.
Amen.
Which we're doing, and the miracles and things are happening, you know, that's the exciting thing. And you know, aside from that, things are going good. We've been babysitting for Marcella. Now we're going to have her a couple days a week with my daughter Debbie, and Scott's going to babysit with her tomorrow, and I went over there on Tuesday, and it's just been busy, but being out, it's been an opportunity to see a lot of people, and it's just, you know, it's cool, it's good, very, I feel very positive energy now, because, you know, it's like we were talking about last week, Christmas time, you know, well, it's a pagan holiday, but you know what? He that's for him isn't against him, and it's a time when people start thinking about Jesus Christ. And I'm finding now that with a lot of the garbage that's going on, people are returning to God, even in our government and things like that. People are starting to wake up, which is a good thing. You know, the darkness is going to be flushed out. We know that. And we've stood against it, and, you know, God's people have to stand in order for him to have changes, because, you know, he says his people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and people are wanting to learn the truth, so we're really in a prime time for God opening doors for us to do what we need to do, because the churches are so far behind in knowing that, you know, it's not just going to church, and it's not just waking up every day and say, thank you, Lord. It's being an example, you know.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, they said George Herbert Walker Bush, one of his famous things was, let people see Christ in you. And he said, and then if you have to, use words.
Yeah, that's it.
So,
I've seen that on Facebook a lot, Nancy, and that's blessed me, that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I pray for their souls because, you know, Jesus died for everybody.
Yeah.
We don't really know that a lot of people, there's so much confusion around religion and the word that they think, they're not sure, they hope, I hope my baby is with my wife. You know, it's like, so you're just constantly trying to teach people, you know, we're all going together. You know, we're going to go together. Dead in Christ arise first. And it's a good opportunity for that. But what a privilege and what a blessing it is to be able to just get together like this in the middle of an afternoon and fellowship and love each other and just, I mean, for my day today, I had so much to do. I got it done fairly early. I had a couple little glitches, but like my car was ready and they didn't tell me for 45 minutes, but, to be able to look forward to coming home and being on Skype together with believers all around the world.
Yeah.
It's just a real blessing, you know, it's like, this is what we live for, this is what we look forward to. But I did go and I did have a pit stop and I did have to make some soup because I only had Madeline cookies for breakfast and I was getting to that point I needed some substance, so I took out my turkey soup. But, you know. Oh, and the other thing is, my son-in-law and Debbie, they were approved for a 3-bedroom, I guess, condo or townhouse, which is what we've been praying for years, like 40 years.
Yeah.
And they were approved for it. They just have to go get a mortgage. They could move out in as quick as a month. And if that happens, then we've got to crank up and do some work on the other side of the house. And then on this side of the house a little bit and get the house on the market so we can make a change.
Wow.
We don't know where we're going, but I don't care. I'll put it all in storage and just, we'll just travel. We'll get in the car and drive away and say, we'll see you guys for Christmas. You know?
Yeah.
We'll go, wow, missionary, whatever it is now. But anyway, it's an exciting time for us, and Artie especially is very blessed because it's, you know, you reach a point with a home where it becomes so much work, and when you're 82 years old, it's not easy. He's going to be 83 in March.
Wow.
No, he was 82 last year. He was born at 37.
37.
Yeah.
It's 88.
Well, anyway, Scott said he's going to be 82, so whatever. But that's not even the point. You're as old as you think.
Yes.
Yeah. And you're as old, and when you have a lot to look forward to, because the word says that hope deferred makes the heart, you know.
Yeah.
So, being able to have something new to look forward to, and it's not that everything here isn't great, it's just that you reach a point you outgrow something, and it's like, oh, I want a new challenge, I want something new to look forward to at this stage of our life, you know. So, and it's a time then that you can have extra money to help other people and yet to be able to go and do things that maybe we haven't done before. I don't think I'm going to jump out of a plane like George Herbert Walker Bush did. Would be 90 something when he jumped out 2 years ago, his 90th birthday, or, oh my God, I'm like, okay, preserve me this far, I'm not going to push it.
I think
he could be
on the floor.
How's our Russell?
You there, Russell?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
How are
you doing? Doing good. Just looking to God. Now, I think I shared, when we got here, my law brother had prayed from, which one is that?
Psalm 103.
Right. Right. And then Lawrence did too. Last Sunday. Or Monday, Tuesday, whatever day it was. And right after that, three more people shared that same.
Wow.
And so I've been doing it. And I've been noticing, you know, I'm taking this medicine. I don't know what it does. It's real expensive shit, but, you know, okay.
Well,
yeah, no, I'm doing fine in that. And but I noticed these, what do you call them? Well, I can't say certain words. Yeah, can you hear that?
Yeah.
And I had a big one on my knuckle. And
you look at the lead, what offer to you every day?
Yeah, and one of our other believers had said the same thing. Read that same thing. So I just told Shirley that this on my knuckle, this black thing, you know, was just right there. And she prayed that night and read that, the whole thing. And then right after that, it's gone. This thing disappeared, just vanished.
Wonderful.
She's been doing that every day, but I was just amazed that this thing vanished. It was right on my knuckle. It was black. It was looked kind of big to me.
Yeah.
But you know looking to him, I'm seeing stuff every single day. My right leg and arm and my speech every single day.
Your speech is so much better from last week.
Oh, absolutely.
I didn't sound that bad, did I?
You were talking a little slower, trying to remember what you wanted to say, and it seems to come easier now, which is a good thing.
That's great, mate.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm sort of joking, but no. But I was amazed. I was amazed how I was doing fine last year, the last month or week, and
yeah.
So you just keep going. You know, I mean, it's all there is to it, and it's so nice that God has provided His thoughts.
Yeah.
And that our brains can grab hold of His thoughts.
Yeah.
And wonderful, you know, I mean, and I love the written word, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's pretty much it. Also, my wild brother found out that I can get, what is it called?
Water aerobics at a recreation center nearby his house.
Wonderful.
That will help my...
$25 for 10 days, $80 for 3 days. He wants to pay it. It's God working at him. If I said to trust him, over the truth.
Yeah, he has a daughter that does that line of work, and
wonderful.
She had said, and he mentioned it, and then we checked, and it really is affordable. And it gave me some. Yeah, his daughter does that. And apparently this place is right around the corner, so it'll help my right side get strengthened. My right arm's doing better and better and better. I mean, it seems perfect, yet when I try to use it for a fork, I go with the other one for now, but it would be nice. I'm just looking at God. That's just bottom line. The doctor called me this past week from the hospital. Great lady. She used to live in this area, and she just said that stuff is all gonna pass. Just
yeah.
I can't say when it's going to be, but you know, I'm expecting because of God.
Yeah.
That's what you can count on Him. And, so I think that covers it pretty much, that I think I'm in the right place.
Amen, you are.
In faith.
Yeah, you definitely are, mate. That's awesome.
Thanks for asking. Love you.
That's wonderful. It's good to hear good news like that.
Pretty amazing.
Bless your heart, Russell. Thank you.
Amen.
Yeah. You know what, in the light of that, Russell, that Psalm is 103, there's one verse there that says that He renews our strength like that of the eagles. And I come across this Psalm.
I love that.
And I want to read this little article to you. It's by Dr. Miles Monroe. And he put seven principles of an eagle. Now listen to this, it's really cool. So, it says, principle number one, eagles fly alone at high altitude and not with sparrows or other small birds. No other bird can go to the heights of the eagle. Stay away from sparrows and ravens. Number two, principle number two, eagles have a strong vision. They have the ability to focus on something up to 5 kilometers away. When an eagle sights its prey, he narrows his focus on it and sets out to get it. No matter the obstacle, the eagle will not move his focus from the prey until he grabs it. Have a vision and remain focused no matter what the obstacle, you will succeed. Principle number three. Eagles do not eat dead things. They feed only on fresh prey. Vultures eat dead animals, but eagles will not. Be careful with what you feed your eyes and ears with, especially in movies and on TVs. Steer clear of outdated and old information.
Wow.
Always do your research well. Principle number four. Eagles love the storm. When clouds gather, the eagles get excited. The eagles use the storm wind to lift it higher. Once it finds the wind of the storm, the eagle uses the raging storm to lift him above the clouds. This gives the eagle an opportunity to glide and rest its wings. In the meantime, all the other birds hide in the leaves and the branches of the tree. You can use the storms of life to raise to greater heights. Achievers relish challenges and use them profitably. Principle number five. The eagle tests before it trusts. When a female eagle meets a male and they want to mate, she flies to the earth with the male pursuing her and she picks up a twig. She flies back into the air with the male pursuing her. Once she has reached a height high enough for her, she lets the twig fall to the ground and watches it as it falls. The male chases after the twig. The faster it falls, the faster he chases it. He has to catch it before it falls to the ground. He then brings it back to the female eagle. The female eagle grabs the twig and flies to a higher altitude, then drops the twig for the male to chase. This goes on for hours. Wow. With the height increasing until the female eagle is assured that the male eagle has mastered the art of catching the twig, which shows commitment. Then and only then will she allow him to mate with her. Whether in private life or in business, one should test commitment of people intended for partnership. Principle number six.
I went wrong, didn't I?
Well, I tell you what, I'm glad I didn't have to chase after a twig before I could mate with you. When ready to lay eggs, the female and male eagerly identify a place very high on a cliff where no predators can reach. The male flies to the earth and picks fawns and lays them on the crevice of the cliff, then flies to the earth again to collect twigs which he lays in the intended nest. He flies back to earth, picks up the fawns, laying them on top of the twigs. He flies back down to earth and picks soft grass to cover the fawns. When the first layering is complete, the male eagle runs back to earth and picks up more fawns. lays them on the nest, runs back to get grass, on top of the fawns, then plucks his feathers to complete the nest. The fawns on the outside of the nest protect it from possible intruders. Both male and female eagles participate in raising the eagle family. She lays the eggs and protects them. He builds the nest and hunts. During the time of training the young ones to fly, the mother eagle throws the eagles out of the nest. Because they are scared, they jump into the nest again. Next, she throws them out and then takes off the soft layers of the nest, leaving the fawns bare. When the scared eaglets again jump into the nest, they are pricked by fawns. Shrieking and bleeding, they jump out again, this time wondering why the mother and father, who love them so much, are torturing them. Next, mother eagle pushes them off the cliff into the air. As they shriek in fear, father eagle flies out and catches them up upon his back before they fall and bring them back to the cliff. This goes on for some time until they start flapping their wings. They get excited at this newfound knowledge that they can fly. The preparation of the nest teaches us to prepare for changes. The preparation for the family teaches us that the active participation of both partners leads to success. The beginning pricked by the fawns tell us that sometimes being too comfortable we are may result into our not experiencing life, not progressing, not learning at all. The fawns of life come to teach us that we need to grow, get out of the nest and live on. We may not know it, but the seemingly comfortable and safe haven may have fawns. The people who love us do not let us languish in sloth, but push us hard to grow and prosper. Even in their seemingly bad actions, they have good intentions for us. And the last principle, this is principle 7, when an eagle grows old, his feathers become weak and cannot take him as far as he should. When he feels weak about to die, he retires to a place far away in the rocks. While there, he plucks out every feather on his body until he is completely bare. He stays in his hiding place until he has grown new feathers, then he comes out. We occasionally need to shed off old habits and items that burden us without adding to our lives. And I thought that was awesome.
Man, awesome. That is great.
I'll put the link to it in the chat box so you can all go and have a look if you want. I thought it was really, really good.
I think
no one is really
very good synopsis
to build in the nest.
Pardon?
I said I think you'd be exhausted after building the nest.
Oh, yes. Right. Yeah. I think just chasing that little twig would exhaust me.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, Shirley keeps trying to kick me out the door. Yeah. Anyway, that's all.
That's cool.
Just make sure it's open next time, will you?
But I just thought it was really cool that we can learn from animal behavior and stuff like that, just principles and, you know, and then God has put loads of examples, like as the deer pants for the water, these type of things, analogies to get us to think, to look around us and see the beauty of what God has created for us, and we can learn from it. You know, and so that's why I was just putting in the eagles. I wanted to find out what type of eagle that flies up and soars down into the river. But I come across that article and I read it and I thought I'll read it tonight. So the link to that article is in the chat in Skype. So if you want to click on it, you can have a look at it yourself. So
that's wonderful.
Yeah, so God is really...
Well, everything we go through is to strengthen us.
Yes.
Not make us weak.
That's right.
It's the trying of our faith. And it's not that God tries us, it's the things in life that try us. But it's as we trust God and do what he shows us to do, and we rely on him, and we go to him that under, you know, his shadow, and that he's our refuge, that he's the first one we turn to. And God really wants us to go to him because he is faithful. And sometimes we do have to take a step of faith, whatever that action we may need to take, and prove God. You know, God wants us to prove him. Like he says in Malachi, in that, not that I'm going on about abundant sharing, but he says in Malachi, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. And so whatever area that you're going through a situation, prove God in it. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. And we just need to go to him. Like, that's who we run to. We don't have to run to each other, even though we can come to each other. Our first call is the Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's everything's been provided for us there. And yeah, so anyway, chat.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Oh, Lawrence, thank you for sharing that.
Oh, bless you, Nancy. Is there anything you wanted to share, Jason? Anything on your heart, bro?
Nothing?
Well, I've been thinking. I've been speaking
I smelled wood burning.
it's worse when you got the wood burning. That's when it's the worst, then you smell it, and you're like, oh, not my brain again, please, no. American people are seeing smoke signals, they think there's Indians around. It's not, it's just Jason's thinking. But, it's been eventful. The enemy doesn't like it if we kind of forget he's there. He likes to give us taps on the shoulders, but it's very subtle. And, I've been getting these cramps in my calves, my calf muscles, for the past couple of years. I'm just, rebuking it, and it goes and it comes back when I'm out and about walking again. But it's been getting worse and worse. And I realize, because I'm still trying to walk as fast as I used to when I was younger, and I'm carrying a load of stuff with me, and it's just wear and tear, basically. That I was sat there about a week ago, and I said, right, I've had enough of this, right? The healed now in the name of Jesus Christ. So I just told it straight. And after that, it hasn't been too bad. Even though there's little twinges, but I kind of walk a bit slower, so, and kind of a bit steadier. And so anyway, I'm out working today, and I've had I'm good getting through my work, no problem. And suddenly there's this pain in my ankle, a pain in my back, a pain in my knee. And all the way down one side of the body, I'm thinking, oh, great. And sometimes you just don't remember to put your faith into action at the time, because you're too busy going, and you're using a few choice words. But I was toward the end of my day, and I decided, right, that's enough. So I gained the tools, went and let out in a very odd position, but and then coming up to fellowship tonight, there was one bus that sailed past as I came out my front door. It looked great, he's early. Another one, you couldn't tell what time it was going to turn up. Then when I got to the area I get the bus for fellowship from, there was nothing on the display on the timetable thing. And I'm thinking, what do I do, praying to God, my bang ons. Then a bus sailed past me, went about half an hour earlier than it should have done. And I thought, what? The buses are every hour at that time of the night. You don't get on it, you missed it for the next hour or more.
Yeah, it's an hourly bus.
Yeah, so it's raining a bit. You know, it's almost like I'm nothing but a child of God, and a child of God is everything. Satan hates that too. It's like he was just throwing everything out there at me, and just to stop me from getting up here. And it's just incredible. I kind of turn around sometimes. I just laugh about it because I think this is just stupid. you kind of think that somebody as smart as Satan might consider changing at some point. It's a smart move to make. But no, he just hurtled. He just keeps on hurtling on towards the lake of fire and brimstone and stacking up for himself more and more worse things. But thank God, because we're going to receive great rewards in heaven. So it's been we know we're in December, we know we're in that time of that pagan time of the year. And believe me, I'm not into it, so ask anyone. I'm not going to figure. I keep telling my mum I don't want anything. I don't, you know. See family, that would be great. Okay, if that happens. But, otherwise, it's, yeah, I kind of like to skip those 2 days of the year. Everybody spends like hundreds and thousands of pounds for those 2 days, and then end up wondering why after they're in so much debt. And you think, well, because you're not really, you know, seeing the truth of it, but what can you say? But, yeah, so I suppose it's challenge after challenge at the moment, and obviously the heart-wrenching news about Bruce the other day didn't help, but it's that time of the year when the enemy likes to strike, so Nancy, sorry to hear about the cousin as well.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, it's not, I don't know, it's done at all. Really. So, other than that,
you know what? Increase your water intake too. Sometimes, as we get older, we forget to hydrate more, and that can cause muscles to cramp.
Oh wow! Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, increase your fluid intake. Make sure you're taking water. Lemon water is the best because it, the lemon helps you to hydrate. Yeah.
It is. You're spot on. I know. Yeah.
I don't do it.
Yeah. But me and Lawrence, we used to go for Indians quite often, didn't we? We'd have lemon water there.
Yeah.
Real lemons in the water. And if you leave it 5 or 10 minutes, it really gets the fullness of the lemon into the water. And it's, oh, yeah, it's absolutely brilliant.
You could put a little maple syrup in it too. That's all good.
All right.
You know, I don't know about you guys, but I am so proud of Bruce because...
Yeah.
Boy, he could write up, he was right there, he's focused on this thing going, and, you know, we believe that there, that because of one of his treatments that he got a blood clot, and that, that was ultimately the thing that, that happened. But no matter what, he was always willing to change his thoughts and fight, you know, and, he was really intensely listening to a lot of the word about the return of Christ. And, you know, we all need to do that every day because it's going to happen. And we want to be prepared, you know, mentally to receive him.
Yeah.
And to live like that. Yeah, we can enjoy other things too. But, boy, imagine that, what it's going to be like. I have not seen, neither has it entered the heart of man. The things which God prepared for those that love Him.
Amen, sister.
I mean, everything that gives us such joy today is nothing compared to what's coming for us.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
This is just a foretaste of what's to come.
Yeah, and you know, our bodies are limited. I mean, we're not walking through walls yet and being in two places at one time. I can't wait. That sounds like the coolest thing on earth to me.
Amen, sister. Amen.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's really great to be able to get together like this and just hang out.
It's funny what you're saying as well, because even earlier on I was thinking pretty much the similar thing. But, you know, where the Apostle Paul, he said, you know, I don't reckon that the sufferings of this present time are worthy to compare to the glory that shall be revealed in me. What we're going to see when we're up there is something. Right now, we see through a glass darkly, right? So we don't see the full picture. And so sometimes the carnal thing kicks in, and bing, bing, bing. And then we get our minds back into place again. But even when our minds are really, really on it, and our hearts are on it, and every fibre of our being is on it, we're still seeing through a vast dark at the moment. And I just thank God we got each other, and we've got the scriptures to remind us these things, that, hey, listen, you're going through it now, but one day you're going to be well and truly up there, and we're going to be in a different place at a different time of the day.
Amen.
So, yeah. Thanks for that, Nancy. And for reminding me of water. Yeah, I do drink enough.
Yeah.
So,
Thank you.
See, I carry bottles with me all the time now.
Yeah.
I don't drink anything else, actually.
Sure, thanks for saying that, Nancy, because I was regularly doing that before I went to USA. I was regularly getting it. I got two jars out there to fill up with water and put lemon and all different types of fruit in there.
Honey.
And I haven't done it since I come back. I will get myself on that. I will get myself back on it because the hydration thing is very important. And, like, we've got to look after
our body. What, 90% water?
Yeah, especially now because in England we're, we have our heating on, radiators, and there's no moisture in the air, so you dehydrate quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could put a big kettle on the stove, too, a big pot, and just let it simmer, and that'll help with the air. Yeah.
The essential oil's coming out as well. Using the flavors there. So has everyone shared? I don't know if, because I know that Patrie from Argentina's on, but I know she's at work as well, so she might actually be working. But if you want to share now, Patrie, it's a good time to unmute your mic, but if not, I'll give you a couple of seconds. One, two. No, I'm joking.
You're in.
But that's cool. No, I mean, just unmute your mic if you want to share, sweetheart. But what was that you put there, Russell? Lemon water and agave.
Agave.
And what?
Agave. Lemon water and agave.
Oh, agave.
Agave.
Yeah, agave is from a cactus. It's a lower glycemic than sugar.
Okay.
And also grade B maple syrup.
Yeah.
Real maple syrup, not pancake mix. Real maple syrup.
Yeah. Okay. But it looks like Patrie must be busy, but I know she's listening. Or is she? Yeah, she's still on.
You?
Okay, so.
Oh, I'm trying. I'm touching the buttons here. I don't know how to manage it in my phone.
God bless
but,
you. Let me introduce you a minute. Nancy and everybody else, this is Patrie. She's from Argentina. She came over to Bristol a few years ago, and we had a wonderful time of fellowship with her. And also, she's moving the word really hot there in Argentina. And she knows many believers. She's ministered to many people. They got healed, and she's doing a real great job. She was over in England when we actually went to USA to visit her daughter, who's living in London at the moment. And she witnessed down there, and God's just really working in this. She's got a great heart. So go on, Patrie. I've done your little introduction there, sweetheart, if you like to.
Good friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you very much for your introduction, Lord. If I were to the United States again one day, I'd like to meet the believers there. And to Nancy, I saw her and other believers, I saw them through Facebook, of course. Well, it will be a pleasure for me. Maybe one day I can visit you, I don't know. yes, I have been to Bristol, to London, 1 month ago. And I could meet several people there and share with them the word of God, and that was a very nice experience to me. For them, a new one, and very shocking in some cases. I could talk to.
You've gone on pause, Patrie.
Might have faded out a little.
Yeah.
To several people. And I have a lot to say about this, the trip and. Situations with right now.
Okay.
And just a the only thing I wanted to say is that I was thinking about that we should thank God for his intervention when we invite him.
Yeah.
Sometimes people are healed and they forget to thank God for that. And sometimes they forget also to thank us for being praying for this or that. And I was thinking, just thinking about that we should thank God for his power, his love, his grace, his mercy, his love for us. We should do it more frequently. that's all I want to share now.
That's
yes.
Wonderful. Bless your heart, darling. We love you. And thank you for joining us for taking the time to join us on Skype Fellowship. And I know you're working as well. And it's a real blessing that you've joined us. Thank you.
Thank you to you for the invitation.
You're welcome anytime. Anytime. And I look forward to hearing some more of your wonderful testimonies that God's doing with you. Okay, so I just wanted to share one thing before I pass it on to the teacher tonight, is that I don't know if you've been watching recently, but there's a guy called Tyson Fury, and he's a boxer, and he fought the WBC world champion in America, his name's Deontay Wilder. And this guy, Tyson Fury, he won the world championship, all the major belts there, apart from this one that he fought for. But after he won it, he went on he's Irish, he's an Irish traveller, and he went on a big binge of drink and drugs, and he had, he was suffering with mental health issues. And basically what happened to the guy, he was out for 3 years, he went from, 18 stone up to, he was nearly 400 pounds in weight. He went downhill so much that his life was going on the wrong end. He tried to kill himself, and he had a Ferrari, drove it at 190 miles an hour, was going to crash it, and then chickened out, thankfully. And then basically what he'd done was he actually fought his way back fit, to the point that he had a couple of easy fights to get him back into things, and then he put a challenge out to fight Deontay Wilder, the WBC heavyweight champion, because 3 years ago he beat the man who beat the man, he's called the lineal champion, Tyson Fury. So this gave him a lot of weight to actually challenge for the heavyweight championship. And he actually did. And what really blessed me, this guy gave his interviews. You can look him up on YouTube. His name's Tyson Fury. And he talks about how he overcome the mental problems and everything like that. He gives praise to God. And before his fight, he actually prayed. There's a video on YouTube where they're in a circle and he's praying. And then he asks someone to manifest, and someone manifests. And it was quite amazing, and then he went for this fight. Well, this Deontay Wilder, he's had 40 fights at the time before he fought Tyson. He's knocked 39 of his opponents out, and the one that he went the distance with, he fought again and knocked him out. So basically, he's knocked all his opponents out, and he's got the most deadliest right hand going. And he's also a believer from Alabama. And so anyway, these guys are very confident people, and they believe in their ability and they believe in God. And anyway, so they started the fight, and everyone was saying that Tyson had been out of the ring for 3 years, there's no way that he can lose all that weight and actually do anything. But anyway, they had this massive fight, and he even got knocked down in the ninth round. Tyson Fury got up in the very last round, he got knocked down, and it looked like he was out. And then all of a sudden they called him the Undertaker, like in the wrestling, because he just got up and he beat the count, and he managed to fight the rest of the fight and nearly knocked the other guy out. And but they called it a draw. But the reason why I mentioned it, that this guy went through some really, I'm really tough stuff, and I know this guy. I've met him before, and he's a big, he's 6'9", and he's a traveller. And these travellers are really tough people. But the lifestyle, like, you know, the lifestyle of drink and drugs, after he got everything, and then he decided to give his £8 million purse that he got for the fight to the poor people that live on the streets. That's what he wanted to do with it. He said, I don't need money. He said, I want to help people. He said, this life is too short. I've suffered. I've been through stuff. But really, this guy is a great inspiration. And really, and I love boxing, so you know, this is why I was following it on YouTube. But we can learn a lot from sport and the discipline. And that, he said, if I can overcome stuff, he said, anyone can. And it was just so great. And even if a believer was listening to him and they were going through a tough time, it would have lifted them up. Because, like, this guy really gave his praise and his glory to God. And he may not believe like we do in the sense of how we teach or anything. He's very young, I think, in the word. But, my God, does he love God. And he really proved that you can overcome any challenges that come against you. And so I just wanted to share that because I thought it was just really fantastic.
Can I share on the end of that a minute? That really blesses me a lot as well. And you remember, you know, when you were in America,
yeah,
and you were in Texas, you sent me a picture of two sisters, one of them's bringing up the other one, she's 22.
Oh yeah, Lola. Yeah.
And I asked you about the parents and things, her mum's dead, her dad's somewhere else. And what really blessed me a lot about that is that for a long time now, when I pray to God in the mornings, even at night, and sometimes during the daytime as well, obviously I pray for the believers, I pray for specific people among the believers, and I pray for all of those people. But I also pray for all the poor and needy, for all the fatherless, the motherless, babies, children, anyone I know that's being affected in that world that comes to my mind. And I think God would love it if they were rescued.
Yeah.
And if someone prays, if one person prays for them, then I know God's going to answer that prayer. And I know times in the past, over the years, God has reminded me, remember when I showed you the answer here to your prayer here? I thought, oh yeah, I'm going to keep praying for this. And my determination has just been unwavering. Since it just came to my heart one day, and I haven't stopped praying like that every day since. And confirmation, when Lawrence was in America and in Texas, he sent me a picture of these two sisters. One's bringing up the other one because their mother's passed away and their dad's somewhere else. And it sounds like a sad story, but I was really blessed because I saw them with smiles on their faces, Bibles in their hands among believers. And I thought, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And it was like us, God showing me, keep praying because look, there's results happening. And obviously the more people pray as well, the better as well. Yeah.
And people are praying, you know, there's people there.
Yeah. But then the thing about Tyson Fury blew me away as well. I thought 8 million for homeless people, that's going to do a lot.
And he will get the whole purse, that's what he said he's going to do.
A lot of good. So, yeah, I truly believe in my heart of hearts. Yeah, I know God loves his own people, but he loves everyone. And you have all men saved and comes to the knowledge of the truth. It's not just words on the page. And I think a lot of times about our hearts towards people. Sometimes I say to people with their children, you know, what's your heart for your children? Do you love them? Would you hurt them? No, you wouldn't. You'd do anything you can for them. Now you know the heart of God. Especially when it comes to people that don't believe in God. And I come in with that angle because it's the truth. It's the true angle. There's no religion to it. And it just flattens opposition of I'm an atheist or Christianity, religion, or child abuse, or whatever. It just flattens it out, right? And I say to people, listen, this is the true God. And he is love, and he is compassion. And, you know, even in the word God, it mentions about the widows, and the fatherless, and the strangers in the earth, and people like this. And these people come to my mind when I'm praying. So, testimony right there. that whatever's in your heart to pray, pray for it.
Yeah, that's a great thing.
When it comes to other people.
Well, they've done that in the Book of Acts. They remember the poor and all this stuff. You know, yeah. It's all there. It's all written. And what blesses me about this Tyson Fury is that you can see that God's rising people up that are in the sporting world, the drug world, the organized crime world. People are being drawn to Jesus Christ, and they're looking for the answers. They're looking for truth. And you know, when Jesus Christ said, you know, when they invited the people to the banquet and the people didn't come, he said, go to the highways and the byways. Well, who's in the highways and the byways? It is your people that are in those kind of roles in life, you know, where they've gone down. I was watching also about, there's a lot of people, there's one guy, he was one of the big top mafia bosses, and he's now born again, and he runs a crusade. Michael Frazzini, his name is, and he's now a minister for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got his own ministry. And so God is really rising people up from every walk of life. And if, you know, if we ain't going to do it, he'll raise someone else up to do it. You know, so I'm ready to go and preach. I'm ready to put God first and to do the things that, you know, that we should do out of response of love for his great kindness to us, you know. So anyway, with that, we can go on and on and all night. I'm going to now stop. We've had a wonderful Skype fellowship, and I'd like to introduce Kim Hailey, who's going to share with us what God's worked on his heart. So Kim, would you like to share, please, bro?
Yeah, thank you. I'd just like to discuss some things, aspects from God's word, and choices. We are given choices throughout the Bible. People in the Bible are given choices, because they could either obey or they could disobey. They could do things God's way, they did it their own, and many times they did it off their own back, they decided to take their own way and suffer the consequences. But we can also go from strength to strength because of the aura of faith that surrounds us. It's like a shield, a bubble, that surrounds us back and front, if you like, and that's our aura of faith, and as well as having our gospel armor upon us. But because of this, we can go from a strength to strength. And I look at things like the people who lived under the old covenant, by their actions, they activated their own destruction. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is the guarantee of the new covenant. So I'm looking in the old covenant, the Old Testament, because Moses distrusted the Lord when the people of Israel complained because of lack of water at Kadesh. This is in the book of Numbers. And the Lord instructed Moses to speak to the rock, so that it would give out water. But Moses decided to do it his own way, and instead of speaking at the rock, as told by the Lord, he tapped it a couple of times, and sure enough, the water came, tapped the rock twice, water came out. He had a choice, but he made the wrong one.
Yeah.
And this displeased God. And so much so that he would not allow the people, Israel, to pass into the land which he had promised to them. Well, Aaron died on the mountain of Hor, and the king of Arad fought against Israel, and the next thing, Israel made a vow to the Lord, saying that if you deliver the Canaanites and their king into our hand, then we shall completely annihilate their cities. And they did this at a place called Hormah. And then the people departed from Mount Hor by way of the Red Sea to pass around the land of Edom, after which they became impatient on the journey. And they railed against Moses and God,
saying, oh, why have you brought us out of Egypt to perish in the wilderness? There's no food, no water, and our soul detests this rubbish bread. So they were whinging, complaining, because they didn't like the menu, and they chose rather to go along with what God had said. They just chose to complain and make a stand, which was going to be their own detriment. So at this, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit them, and consequently many died. So the people approached Moses, they relented, realized they'd done something wrong, and they said, okay, look, we've sinned, because we've spoken against you and the Lord. So pray for the Lord that he takes away the serpents from us. So this Moses did. And the Lord got back to Moses and said, make a fiery serpent. Put that on top of a pole. And so it shall be that all who look upon it and have been bitten, they shall be healed. Then Moses made a serpent of bronze, set it atop of the pole, and those who had been bitten lived after they looked upon it. Go with me over to Numbers, and that is the 21st chapter, begins read at verse 4, and it just recaps this story of the bronze serpent. So when they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses, why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? For there is no food, no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel did die. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we've sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he will take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed to the for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when they look at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was. If the serpent had bitten anyone, then he looked at it, the bronze serpent, he lived. So here's where the people of Israel had a choice. They were going to follow God's word or do their own thing, and to their consequences, they did their own thing, and a lot of them died and were bitten as a result of God's anger with them. So we have choices today, of course. We can walk with the word, or we can look at the newspaper, look at the horoscopes, check out the lotto, put some money. We can do things the world's way or the word's way. And every time it comes down to, we have a choice. The Lord never tells us, commands us, do this, I command you to do that, not in the new covenant. We have freedom of will, and so the Lord can't twist our arms. But he leaves it ultimately to us to make the right decision. And I think most of us do that. Now, something interesting about this bronze serpent, or brass serpent, if we go over to the second book of Kings, to chapter number 18, so we go from the fourth book of Moses across to the 12th book of Moses. And if we have a look in chapter 18, verses 1 to 4. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, who was a very faithful king, as it turned out, the son of Ahaz, the king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. And this is what's really interesting. He removed the high places, broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden image, and broke into pieces the bronze serpent, or the brass serpent that Moses made. For until those days, the children of Israel had burnt incense to it and called it Neshutun. So for 8 books, all the way through in the Old Testament, people took that fire serpent, turned it into an icon, and they would worship it, and burn incense to it, instead of the Lord. Well, that was their choice, which was a wrong one. But you look about icons, they really are quite useless, because we know they're all for religion. Like someone finds a slipper belongs to St. Jude. Oh, a slipper belongs to St. Jude. Oh, we can worship that, put it up on a pole, and bow down to it and burn incense to it.
Yeah.
And it takes me to just that point of icons and how absolutely useless they are, but people believe it does them good. But it's like all the idols and the high places and the false gods of Baal and all of those that people worshipped. In the end, it's like the Lord talks about his systems. They come to naught because sooner or later they go empty, they run out, they're cracked. But God's is a continual source to us. And anybody who drinks of his waters shall never thirst again or hunger after they've heard his word. But the fact that people still today, in religious sacred circles, the pictures of, I suppose, the Virgin Mary and things in Islam, that statues and what, they still today carry on worship these things, and I guess they always will do. But again, we make choices of what we want to do, who we want to worship, if we want to worship, and that's what it comes down to. But thankfully, the church, which is the church of reconciliation, we made the right decision to serve and to obey the one true God, which is the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I'm just blessed that, I've done that. And, it just amazes me, but icons and statues and crucifixes and some crucifixes, and that people, they really believe in them. They believe it gets them through life, but it doesn't. So that's what I wanted to speak about, to discuss.
Okay.
So thank you for that.
Bless you, Kim. Thank you ever so much.